going up. Oh, my goodness. Hayward came down so hard. Okay, Hayward broke his leg. Hayward has broken his leg. Hayward has broken his leg.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And that is how quickly a season can change.
About as gruesome an injury as you'll see in sports, especially with the proximity of the players, fans, closeness.
And the murmur you're hearing in the background of the fans really says it all.
LeBron got him up in the air with the fake, and a three is down. Rose taking Kyrie's place at that position. They go head-to-head here. Nice move inside by Derrick Rose. Now numbers 3-on-2. LeBron in the middle, the pump, the drive, and the deuce. Here's Dwayne Wade maneuvering with Smart coming out to greet him. Got it, count it, five. Inside the goal, LeBron with 27. James the spin. Cleveland's on top by one. James held outside long. Three, good. Down court it goes for Brown. A three. No. Saved by Kyrie.
We played well enough to win, but obviously we got a lot of room for improvement. Both teams, it's good to get one under the belt, though. It's a great start to the NBA campaign. I feel great about what my game is right now after having to take off three and a half weeks. Had a setback with that. Got to try to work through it, and it's going to be a fine line on how much rest I get in my ankle, but how much condition I still do. I don't know if I'm over the hump. Tomorrow will be it's a big day for me. My thoughts and prayers go out to Gore and his family. Hope for a speedy recovery, healthy recovery. I've seen a couple injuries like that in my lifetime. I've seen Paul George when it happened to Paul. Those are the injuries that you never see coming. You never want to happen, no matter who it is, no matter what the stature, no matter how much competitive nature that you have. It's just very unfortunate.
Any injury is tough, especially when it's one of your own teammates. Gotta just pick ourselves up and, get on with continuing as best we can with the season until he's back with us. But first things first is just, putting our good spirits in him as well and showing him that we are as one and we got his back.
You're in a state of shock, honestly. And 5 minutes in, you saw the reaction, how emotional everybody was. It's a gut punch. They only have two star players. They've got a lot of nice pieces. They only have two stars, and now one of those stars goes out. I think it led to them being a little bit lethargic in the first half. Hard to get over that. Cleveland took advantage of it, but then I really liked the way Boston responded in the second half. Made that big run in the third quarter. Those nice pieces I'm talking about, they responded. But at the end of the day, they were counting on a lot out of Gordon Hayward this year offensively to create for himself and for others. Now they're not going to have that.
As a player, the first thing you think, it could have been me. That's the first thing you think, and you never want your brother to go down. You never want anybody to go down that you're competing against, regardless if you want to win or not, and you definitely don't want to win that way. To begin the season like that, it couldn't happen to a greater guy. Everybody loves him. He's a great professional, a great teammate. Everybody was expecting him to have a great year all around the league, even guys he was going to compete against. So to see him go down, it really crushes a lot of players, and it's hard to bounce back from that, but at the end of the day, all those guys are professionals, and they had the game to finish.
I talk to a couple of guys every day. Everybody will go into Wednesday sort of knowing where they stand at this point. Everybody knows what their role on the floor is, and they're all going to have to accept where they are, playing time-wise.
Stayed on my same path, though, and trusted the process. I knew that there was going to be another opportunity for me to potentially play this year, and obviously it came sooner than most expected. You got to have a better attitude. You got to do more. That's what this game is. It's doing more. For me, my personal process, I think, has been good, and I'm going to stick to it, and I'm going to, stay on the path that I'm on. But now it's just attacking it with a new energy, a new mindset, and allowing myself to get out there and perform better.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Welcome indeed to the Extravaganza right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. Wow. I try to open every show. I think if you listen to us with any regularity, I try to open the show with a lot of energy most days, get excited about the day that it is, excited about the games that are on tonight, excited about the games that were played yesterday. I don't care what sport it is, excited about the topics, if there are fiery, controversial things going on. I try to open the show with energy every day. In much the same way, I think... yesterday, they opened the NBA season with energy, and it was excitement. It was the defending Eastern Conference champion Cavaliers and the rising, challengers who had the Eastern Conference's top seed last season, the Boston Celtics. It was LeBron, and it was Kyrie, and it was it was a showdown, and it was, you know, new players on both rosters. I think, what, 5 or 6 or 7 new players on Boston's roster, 8 new players on Cleveland's roster, superstars moving, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward to the Celtics, Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas and Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade to the Cavaliers. It was just high energy, exciting. Can't wait to see this thing get started. And then just 5 minutes into the 2017-2018 NBA season, when you heard, and you heard it in the montage again, you heard Kevin Harlan say it, Gordon Hayward has broken his leg. Gordon Hayward broke his leg. All of the energy was sucked out of the room. And I don't mean the room that is the arena where the game was being played out there in Cleveland at Quicken Loans Arena. That's obvious. The energy was sucked out of every living room in America that was watching that game. I watched the rest of that game completely and utterly disinterested in its outcome. I watched the Cavaliers take a huge first half lead and was numb to it. I watched the Celtics make a furious second half comeback and take the lead and was numb to that. I watched the Cavaliers surge back ahead behind LeBron James, who had a terrific fourth quarter. And then I watched the Celtics miss 2 late threes with a chance to take the, or to tie the game and send it to overtime. And I watched that with apathy. I watched it with, without much concern or interest. I could not get it out of my head what happened to Gordon Hayward. I sit here now, how many, 18 hours or so later, whatever it is, I still can't get it out of my head. I didn't even like hearing the description that Kevin Harlan did in the montage. I have not rewound it. I did not see it twice on my DVR. I saw it once, and that was only live. And I saw the lob to Hayward, and I saw Gordon go up, and I saw him come down and stay down, and then the camera panned immediately to him down, and then I saw his foot pointing in the wrong direction, and I turned away, and I would not look back. I would not rewind it back. I did not want to see it a second time. It's the kind of thing that stays with you for a long time. It's the kind of thing that once you've seen it, you can't forget it. Really, ever. I texted Jim Cushlin shortly after that happened last night. And I said, Cush, you watching this? Yeah. And I started listing off names. And I said, Joe Theismann. And I said, Kevin Ware. And I said, Paul George. And I said, Jason Kendall. And I said, Gordon Hayward. And I said, did I miss anybody? And Cush reminded me of why they have a new rule in baseball, that there will be no collisions at the plate, that you must slide, and the catcher is not allowed to block the plate because of Buster Posey. Those are some of the most graphic, horrific, broken bone incidents that I can remember in my life. In all of sports, I would add one, which I did to Cush when I sent him that text, because I have seen it, not live, but on replay, unbeknownst to me, and maybe it wasn't, I don't know, maybe I did seek it out at one point or another 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever it was. Sid Vicious, otherwise known as Sid Justice or Psycho Sid, he's one of the WWC or WCW wrestlers, turned WWE wrestlers. He jumped off the top rope and landed and just shattered his shin. His tibia and fibula inside his boot just... There are some moments that you just never, ever forget, and last night was one of them. Last night was one of the most gruesome things that I'd ever seen, and I only saw it for an instant. Of course, that didn't stop a couple of knuckleheaded friends of mine from texting me pictures of the Gordon Hayward's foot facing the wrong direction, as if I hadn't seen it live. Here you go. Yeah, saw it. Thank you. Don't need to be reminded of it, but it's one of those things that it really took the and it's a cliche to say what I'm about to say, and it's what everybody with an ounce of sense says. That was bigger than basketball. That was so much bigger basketball. Did you notice, Jim, at the start of the game, what they did with Kyrie Irving? First of all, they canceled their plans to do the video.
Yeah.
They did not do the video tribute in Kyrie's return to Cleveland. A decision was made at the last second, according to multiple reports by the Cavs' biggest decision makers, including Dan Gilbert, who decided, no, there's not an opportune time to play it, so we're not going to play it. But the fans went ahead and gave Irving the business from the very beginning. Every time he touched the ball, boo, the whole arena filled with boos, which is totally within the rights, totally expected, which we talked about yesterday.
Right, yep.
After Gordon Hayward went down, and I think Kevin Harlan had a point there when you played that clip in the montage, the closeness of it all, that this didn't happen on a baseball diamond where you are a certain distance from the field, and or on a football field where you're even a further distance from the field. For the fans in the arena, the NBA, I mean, you're as close as you can possibly be. Courtside is exactly what it sounds like, courtside.
Right.
Fans who were in the front, you know, not even just the front row, but the fans who were in that lower section.
Right behind the basket there especially.
Yes. Saw something that they will never forget. And it changed the complexion of the game for them. Did you notice after that happened, the boos were gone?
Yeah.
Nobody had an interest.
I was actually looking for it again, like fourth quarter down the stretch when Boston was playing well and I wasn't really hearing it.
Right. Because everybody knew that something else had happened that was bigger than basketball. And the tweets started coming in from all over the basketball world, from other players who weren't playing tonight, not playing last night. Such as the Pistons, of course. And pray for Gordon, bigger than basketball, all of the different things that you can think of, all of the cliches you can think of. There's no other way to say it. It's just a horrific thing, but it changed the complexion. And now it, of course, changes the complexion of that franchise. They were rebuilding, or not rebuilding, reloading, changing, whatever you want to call it, because they went from All-NBA guy Isaiah Thomas and very good NBA guy Jay Crowder to All-NBA guy Kyrie Irving and really great All-Star player Gordon Hayward. Those were the two linchpins of their new team.
Two stars and a bunch of nice talent around them.
Exactly. That Brad Stevens, being the great coach he is, was really going to build, you know, something out of. And now it changes that, and between the impact on the Celtics, the impact on Kyrie Irving, who is now going to be playing with a roster that might not be too terribly dissimilar from the rosters he played with in Cleveland when he first started out of Duke. Now, he's a different player. He's a better player, but still, there's an impact there, and there's going to be an impact on the entire Eastern Conference, Kush, and that's the question, is where does it go from here?
Yeah, and now that, people like me have had about almost 24 hours to, you know, digest that. Now I'm starting to feel comfortable talking about, okay, what are the long-term ramifications for exactly what you said, the Celtics and the Eastern Conference as well. And, you know, I wouldn't expect him back this year. I mean, if by some miracle it's April and Gordon Hayward's going to step on the court, my, more power to him, because that's one of those injuries that he's most likely done for this entire season. And that, quite frankly, means that the Cavs' best competition in the East is probably out the door. That's what it probably means long-term on the basketball court.
I would agree. It does. It was incredibly insensitive to think of that last night.
Exactly.
Some did. Skip Bayless, former ESPN host, current Fox Sports 1 host, drew the wrath of the entire NBA community, including players, who called him out for tweeting literally within minutes of that gruesome graphic injury to Gordon Hayward, who tweeted, "If Hayward is lost for the season, it just makes it that much easier for LeBron to lose a sixth NBA Finals." He used the Gordon Hayward injury to take a shot at LeBron, basically saying the Cavs now have an easy coast to the finals where LeBron will lose again. Very, very insensitive. But now that, and it's not even been 24 hours, so I don't want to continue that insensitivity that some have started. But to analyze it from, to first say your prayers, first, extend your deepest, warmest thoughts of recovery to Gordon Hayward, And to imagine the pain that he suffered when that happened is impossible. For me, anyway, I cannot fathom it. I don't know how I would have handled it. I have a pretty good idea that I would have been a blubbering mess, pounding the ground in agony. I don't know. But after you take that part of it out of the equation and you do start looking at it from an analytical basketball sense, it is true that the Cavaliers' toughest opponent, not just in terms of overall talent, which the Celtics have, not just great organization and great coaching, which the Celtics have, but the driving Kyrie Irving factor, who probably would want nothing more than to get LeBron and the boys in a seven-game series, with Gordon Hayward running along with him, all of those things were going to be, you know, legitimate threats. If not certainly not favorites to beat the Cavaliers, but threats. And threats, no matter how you describe that word, the greatest threat in the Eastern Conference. Greater than the Miami Heat, the Toronto Raptors, the Washington Wizards, you can't even say the Bulls anymore. They're all over the place. Milwaukee Bucks, maybe. I don't even know who else to think about.
I think you pretty much named the only worthy contenders as far as the Eastern Conference is concerned.
Yeah, yeah. And none of them would have been as tough as the Celtics.
Right.
So it does change the whole dynamic of it. But Jim, to go back to it, and again, this is so hard to do because I don't want to dwell on the injury.
Right.
Because even just playing the montage, which you played at the top, of Kevin Harlan describing that, it made it come back into my eye, into my mind's eye again. It's on full color display in HD in my brain right now because we're talking about it. But I kind of don't know what else to do about it because the rest of the NBA schedule just bored me. What happened in that game, not bored me in that sense. What I mean is it wasn't interesting to me. It was not of great concern to me because all I could think about was Gordon Hayward. Did you have that feeling? Did you? And anybody else, 866-240-1065, how did you get right back to basketball? Are you back to it now? Because for me, I'm not. I don't know why I sit here and I dwell on these kind of things, but I do. When I see those kinds of horrific injuries, like I said, I don't have the stomach to look at. I won't replay. I haven't replayed the Joe Theismann hit in which his shin was turned into a second knee. It literally bent like a knee does. That just snapped and right underneath him. I have not watched that in 25, 30 years, however long it's been now. I won't rewatch any of the previous ones that I mentioned. I don't have an appetite for that kind of agony and that kind of destruction, but yet I also can't get it out of my head. And it impacts the way I watch the game from now on. And I will tell you this, there were a couple of other alley-oops in that game last night, and I cringed and thought, oh, God, what's he going to come down on?
I thought the same thing,
right?
Seeing him,
yeah. Is he going to come down on somebody's foot? And, there's another one. I mean, you're going to think about it every time you see a lob now in traffic. You're going to think of Gordon Hayward. Agree?
I absolutely do. And you could tell that on those types of plays, especially for the remainder of the night, that both sides were going about half to three-quarters speed on those. And, you know, for me watching this game last night, I didn't start thinking about just what I'm seeing basketball-wise, honestly, until the Cavs had finished blowing their big lead in the fourth. And I'm thinking, okay, because I'm getting back into the more analyst side of my head and thinking, okay, then now we're seeing why it's going to take a while for these Cavs to gel. And ooh, lack of big-time three-point shooters is going to hurt them at some points this season. But other than that, I was watching the rest of this game and really wasn't into it as much.
Half,
it was just kind of happening on the background, yeah, because it was opening night more than if it wasn't opening night, I probably would have turned it off after that, honestly.
I feel the exact same way, and there's just no right way to do it. My question, though, for anybody who wants to answer it, if you are interested, at 866-240-1065, can you watch plays like that more than once? Have you gone back and watched Kevin Ware destroy that shin again into that standard when he was playing with the USA, Team USA basketball? When Paul George snapped his leg the way that he did? When Joe Theismann endured what he did? Have you gone back? Can you do it? Because if you are, maybe you're in the medical field. you have to be able to handle that. I've told my daughter. My daughter is 16, and she is she's a brilliant young lady. She's a super high achieving student. She's going to go to college in 2 years to go to med school or to go to major in pre-med. She wants to go to med school. She wants to be a physician. And God willing, she'll achieve all of her dreams. But I said to her, I said, please just go into private practice. Don't go into the emergency medicine. Because if you're in the ER, when Gordon Hayward is brought in, that's what you're going to see up close and personal. And you are going to have to fix for him. You know, not surgery on the spot, but it is going to have to be reset on the spot. It's going to have to be snapped back into place before the surgery to, you know, repair him, which was today, of course. You're going to have to endure the agony. I can't do that. It's not in my DNA. It's not it. I don't have it, the stomach for that. I don't have the ability to do that. I just cannot watch that kind of thing over and over again. Tell me somebody snapped their ankle in two places, dislocated it, compound fractured it, whatever phraseology that you want. That's all I need. I don't need a visual confirmation of it. I will take your word for it. And I'm curious as to how many other people, when they watch plays like that, hit the DVR and go back and say, oh, my God, or take a screenshot of it and then send it to all their buddies. Look at this. I can't. I just can't. It's just not in my DNA.
And what's interesting, Bob, in the text exchanges you and I were having after this last night, I ended up did telling you that, yes, I watched it a second time, and that's only because my wife was hanging out with me, not really paying attention to the game because she knows what happens when Jim puts on some sports, and she was actually talking to her mom.
Oh, you didn't do it, did you? Did you do a honey watch this?
No. She's like, well, she was talking to her mother, too, on Skype, and they had the same game on in the background. So it was kind of talking about, she's like, what's going on? You know, what's this guy in the, what happened? And I'm like, here's what happened, and even her, and she was curious. She actually asked to see it because we were all talking about it at that exact moment, right? And you know, she's not a girly girl. She is a tough lady, and even she was like, "Oh my God!"
I would have been her, I would have punched you for that. Because she asked,
she did
yes,
say,
but
don't
you
show
need
me that again.
Say,
she did say, okay, I saw it. That was bad. I wish I
just,
hadn't.
When a case like that happens and you saw it once, you just need to say, honey, don't ask me to rewind that for you. Just trust me when I tell you, you do not want to see this. A man just broke his leg. It is horrific. His foot is on backwards, pointing the opposite way than it should be. You don't want to see that. And she would have been, oh, okay. Because, Jim, that's, and of course, everybody is different, but that's how I am and that's how I was. I could not in any way, shape, or form have watched that again. You know what's odd about it is my entire family was in front of the TV when it happened. But my kids, like most teenagers do, they're half watching the TV screen and half watching their phones.
Right.
Because they're texting or they're doing what this. I think my son was playing Madden Mobile on his phone while the game was on. And when they heard it and heard me go, oh, my God, they look and said, what? And they saw it and they go, oh. And my wife, who was kind of looking down too, said, what was it? And I said, I said what I told you to tell your wife.
Right.
You don't need to see this. They rewound it anyway because they only saw it halfway or heard the announcer say he broke his leg. I turned my back. I must have looked like a little chick to them, but I said, if you're going to watch it again, hang on a second. So I literally turned around and would not watch it again because, like I said, I watched it once. That's all I will ever need to see.
Yeah, and like I said, and you can attest to this, on the final part of on my end of things from the text is, I wish I hadn't have done that a second time.
You know, I think I'm thinking of one more. You know, I listed all those names to you. Was it Dave Dravecki whose arm snapped in mid pitch? I think it was, you know what? In fact, hold on a second. Now in my brain, I don't have time to look this up because we got to get to Wildstat. I think it happened twice in mid pitch. Dave Dravecki, who had like bone cancer or something, but was, you know, a survivor and, you know, and a fighter and came back to pitch and his arms. I might be mixing two stories together, but Dave Dravecki, who I think was maybe a Padre. And then I think the same thing happened to a Cincinnati Red, where you could hear it, because it was baseball. And unless there's a home run happening, the crowd isn't exactly cheering loudly. It's just quiet and watching the game. And so you could hear it on over the telecast. Was it Tom Browning, maybe? We'll have to look that up.
I do kind of know one other, and thankfully for you degenerates out there who want to look for video of this one, there won't be. Remember after the Indians, I think it was 97, acquired John Smiley? And he just basically blasted out his arm in a bullpen before one of his starts. I do vaguely remember that because he was supposed
about
to
it maybe, but the other ones were on TV.
Right, because Smiley was warming up before his start. He was going to make for the Indians.
I do remember reading about it now. Yeah, or hearing about it, obviously, yes. But
that's one you won't find video because that was just warming up in the pen before a game.
But Tom Browning's happened, I think it was Tom Browning. Yeah, you have to look it up. I think it was Tom Browning. But it was in the middle of the diamond. I'm pitching during a game, and then I think Dave Dravecki did the same thing. You can go back and look those up here. We'll do a wild stat and everything. Let me get Jimmy on the air first, though, because he's been sitting there a while, and I don't want to make him wait through the Sports Center. And he wants to hit these injuries, too. Jimmy, how are you, man?
Hey, yeah, it was Dave Dravecki, man. I saw that. It was awful.
It was Dravecki. I thought I remember
that. Yeah. Did he have cancer?
Is my memory right? Did he have cancer?
Yes, he came back. It was a feel-good story. That's what made it so horrible. He had cancer and he came back and it was a big deal. He came back and it was a real feel good story. He was a left hander. I think he was a Giant and then he was pitching for the Padres or vice versa. And, it was a feel good story and then that happened and it was just absolute bummer. And he wound up losing his arm too. Losing his arm. And,
I'll tell you what, man, that's the kind of thing where, and like I said, I think it happened to Tom Browning, too, who's an old Reds pitcher, and his arm just snapped right in mid-pitch. It filled the stadium. I mean, the sound of it was so loud, and it was picked up by the TV microphones. It was one of the most horrific things. But anyway, so last night you saw it, I assume. Did you rewind it, Jimmy?
I don't have much to do with the Cavs anymore because even though LeBron's the best I've seen, and I was a huge LeBron fan, he kind of, his stance on politics pretty much, you know, he's telling me he doesn't,
I got you.
He doesn't want, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to get into it, but he's basically flipping me the bird is the way I look at it.
I understand.
But I did look it up. So I was prepared to see it, but I'd seen things like it before. And I've seen something like that at my work, not at my workplace, but in a workplace. Cause I work on docks. I'm a truck driver. Yeah, that was terrible. But me and my buds, we're kind of like after the first time you see it, you remember Fast Time at Ridge High?
Of course.
Remember Spicoli?
Sure.
When they go and they peel back the, they're at the morgue.
Whoa. Oh, yeah, gnarly.
Gnarly. Yeah, that's how we are, right? Because we're just degenerates.
Yeah, well, so. I you know what? I wasn't gnarly. I was like, I'm about to lose my dude. In that same scene. In that same scene, didn't a girl walk out of there about to throw up?
Right. I mean, it's jarring when you see it, but once you're prepared for it, maybe it's not nearly as, you know, but it is. It's horrible.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get to something else about the faux outrage industry.
Sure.
Like the link, what's the guy on Undisputed, you know?
Bayless,
you know, the
Skip
talking head.
Yeah, Skip Bayless, that's
what they do. But here's my thing. I don't find it offensive. The way I look at it is, I've seen guys that get hurt like that, fall off docks, have compound fractures, and they're not making millions of dollars. And this is in no way, I have plenty of sympathy for Gordon Hayward. God bless him. Went to Butler. Love the kid. But he's making millions of dollars. He's going to be okay. Even if his career's over, he's going to be okay. It's the guy that falls off the dock or gets his foot run over by a forklift and his bones are crushed and he doesn't have disability insurance because he was, you know, barely scraping by. He couldn't afford it because it's kind of expensive insurance, you know, and workers' comp's crap. And those are the guys that I'm worried about. You know what I'm saying? It's just not like I'm, so this whole notion that, well, we've got to like have, you know, a certain amount of grieving time before we like make stupid comments like Skip Bayless. But you know what? Regardless of whether they find it insensitive or not, I think we're all too sensitive. He said the truth. I mean, it's probably, I tend to think LeBron's going to get injured myself. And then to get back to the other thing, what Al Michaels said was perfect the other night about Weinstein. He wasn't glorifying sexual assault. He was saying something that Johnny Carson would have said for years. It's just a joke. People need to lighten up.
I'm going to agree with you because I am not all about political correctness either. And thanks for the call, my friend. But there's a thing called time and place and also distance. you know, a little bit of distance, a little bit of, you know, time has to pass, I think, between a terrible event like that and then, the, you know, the jokes or the crassness or whatever the case might be. I'm not about PC either, but so I do understand your point, but there's a time and a place. Bayless was off, was out of bounds last night. All right, we're running late here, and guess what? We're running real late because we only have about, 21 minutes of showtime left. Because, as we've been telling you last couple of days, Mike Miller is going to be taking over the 4 o'clock hour of this show along with the 5 o'clock hour of drive time because he's out at Kroger in Perrysburg for the Battle of I-75 preview and the bobblehead giveaway. Go see Mike Miller in Perrysburg, but that's going to be coming up from 4 to 6. So we don't have a whole lot of time left together. Let's make some time right now for a wild stat of the day.
ESPN 106.5 The Ticket presents The Wild Stat of the Day, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports.
This one has nothing to do with gruesome injuries. This is a straight-up wild stat. If it seems like MLB games are running longer this season and postseason, they are. The average time for a game this year was 3 hours and 5 minutes. That's up 5 seconds from 2016 and 10 seconds from 2015, which doesn't seem like much. I hope it's minutes because you're killing me if that is your wild stat, Kush, if it's only 5 or 10 seconds.
No, that's minutes. That was a typo on my part. That's minutes, not seconds.
Thank you. You're killing me on these things. 5 minutes and 10 minutes, respectively, but it's also longer in these playoffs with the average game time running 3:35. That's up 10 minutes from 2016 and 21 minutes from 2015. That's crazy. I do think, however, in baseball's defense, some of that is extra long breaks in between innings for more commercials because playoffs mean big-time revenue, and they do have more commercials built into a game. But 3:35, the average Major League game in the postseason, that is a crazy wild stat. There is no doubt about it. All right, let's get a bottom of the hour Sports Center coming your way, local Sports Center with Kush. Then we'll come back and get a few more things done before we are done at 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Be part of the extravaganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket.
Yeah, you know, where are you watching your football? If you're going to the stadium, like, for example, the Deut for Bowling Green in Northern Illinois on Saturday, that's a great way to do it. If you're going to the Glass Bowl for a game, that's a great way to do it, even though you shouldn't do that this time because you won't see a game. No, yes, they are. I'm sorry. Akron is at the Glass Bowl, aren't
they? Yes, yeah. High noon for the kickoff.
Said that was at Akron. Okay. So if you're going to the Glass Bowl, that's a pretty good choice on where to watch your football. But or Ford Field or, well, no, nobody should ever go to First Energy Stadium. ever. But if you're not at one of the stadiums, you know you got to watch your football at B-Dubs because they have dedicated the entire football season to making it your personal football man cave. Above and beyond with countless taps and HD screens, the entire place committed to creating the perfect atmosphere for watching football, food and drinks included, including the 35th Weck sandwich. If you haven't tried it yet, what are you waiting for? Seriously. And also, if you love wings and you love barbecue like I do, I'm not a big buffalo sauce guy. I like, you know, the hot sauce stuff. I like barbecue. The Blue Moon barbecue sauce is limited time only. It's to die for. There's a lot more, but you got to come in to find out what it is. To the place with the best football experience going, it's Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports, please drink responsibly. And by the way, speaking of going to games, Kush, I want to remind everybody about the Border Battle Contest. Here's another place to go, the Big House. The Big House is, it's not going to be rocking this week because the Wolverines are on the road in Happy Valley at Penn State. But if you would like to go and see the Ohio State Buckeyes battling the Michigan Wolverines at the Big House on November 25th, well, that's pretty much a dream. And we can make it come true for you in the Border Battle Contest. ESPN 106.5 The Ticket in Yingling with a chance to attend that game with limo service to the house from Total Image Limousine. The runner-up prize, if you don't win, by the way, that one is a trip for two to the Big Ten Championship game on December 2nd at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indy. For a chance to qualify, just register one time at 106.5theticket.com or text Border Battle to 64636. Those who qualify will attend our giveaway party on Thursday night, November 16th at the Blarney Downtown. It's all from Yingling, True House of Munch, Get-Go Transportation, Churchill's, Country Hearth, Tass Electronics, Distracted Haunted House, and yes, your football freaks here at 106.5 The Ticket. All right, so there's a lot of great football coming up. By the way, the Toledo BG game is November 15, the Battle of I-75.
That is a Wednesday, by the by.
That is a Wednesday game, which is a little bit odd, I suppose, but then again, it's MAC football. It is when they tell you it is, and they are happy to do it. Well, that's why Mike Miller is at Kroger in Perrysburg right now, even as we speak. And he's going to be taking over in the 4 o'clock hour because he is there for the Battle of I-75 preview and also the bobblehead giveaway for the Battle of I-75. It's very, very cool, all kinds of fun. So Mike is going to have a two-hour edition of Drive Time starting at 4 o'clock with the last hour of this extravaganza. So good luck to the Rockets and the Falcons, and go on out and see Mike Miller in Perrysburg today for that Battle of I-75 preview and the bobblehead giveaway. If you'd like your bobblehead, go get it this afternoon, coming right up. All right, Kush, back to the business at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about last night's Cavaliers game, a little preview of tonight, and the Pistons lifting the lid, if you will, or unveiling the curtain, not just on the 2017-2018 season, with Stan Van having some new pieces and parts to play with, the most exciting of which is Avery Bradley, but also lifting the lid or pulling back the curtain on Little Caesars Arena. I'm assuming it's going to be a sellout now and perhaps for the near future. How excited are fans, do you think, Kush? I mean, are people in Toledo going to make the drive up to downtown D instead of the Palace? Are they going to be more excited about going into the city to watch these games?
I think over time, you know, that will prove to be the case. Everybody always likes something, you know, when it's new. And even though and we talked with David Fernandez a little bit about this yesterday, even though the Little Caesars Arena is actually the Red Wings building and the Pistons are the tenants, especially up in the D, the thing that I'm hearing is so happy to have them, you know, downtown, because in a way, especially since the Lions are now there and, you know, the Tigers move from Tiger Stadium to Comerica Park and the Red Wings have more or less always been there with Joe Louis Arena.
Now they're all on the same block.
No, yeah, they are now all on the same block. I even looked it up. It's the for the few cities out there that have all four, a team in all four leagues, it's now the closest conglomeration of stadiums and ballparks and arenas, you know, for any of those four sports cities. A lot of them, they are spread out depending on what city you're in. So they're all in this couple block area right there in downtown Detroit. And at least from the Pistons standpoint, I don't know long term how this is going to affect, Pistons fans here in Toledo going up. But the thing that I'm gathering is a lot of fans just liking that the Pistons are going to be, you know, down in Detroit, in downtown, and not at the Palace anymore. And of course, it's been many years since the Pistons played downtown, because if you recall, for those couple years before the Palace was there, like right when the Bad Boys era started, they were playing at the Silverdome, for goodness sake.
Yeah, which is just all kind of crazy.
Yep.
I don't like that kind of thing. I'll be honest with you. I don't even like when they have the Final Four in major.
I'm getting to start to not like them, not like that either.
Yeah, that kind of thing just doesn't sit right with me. Hey, I want to go back real quick, just because we're talking about the Pistons and the Hornets starting out tonight. You said that the Pistons are the tenant. It's the Red Wings building. I get that. I understand that. Does that matter to any Red Wings fans or Pistons fans, or are they one and the same? And I'm just trying to get a feel for, like, you know, the D fans. If you root for a Detroit team, are you rooting for all the Detroit teams? Or do the conflicting seasons or the coinciding seasons of hockey and basketball make you a fan of one or the other and you don't have much use for the other? You know what I mean?
I'm wondering how the
Pistons fans are. You know, the Pistons fans care much about that. You know, that it's the Red Wings house and they're just playing it. And to the Red Wings fans, you know what? Hey, we don't watch basketball. This is a real sport. You know, this building belongs to, a real sport. This is hockey town.
You know, I'm honestly not sure, you know, how to answer that one, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not exactly have been in tune with.
There aren't a ton of cities where they clash. Well, the bigger cities, you know, New York, obviously with, you know, multiple hockey teams, multiple basketball teams. But like for instance, Cleveland, they're, you know, when the Cavs are playing, it's just the Cavs. There is no crossover. Football is still going on, but there's just a beginning and an end crossover. There's not a.
And the hockey league team is AHL, which is
80 games or 82 games in each case where it's competing. I'm just wondering. I've never really talked to, you know, Detroit fans about that. And how do you handle it? Are you switching back and forth between the Wings and the Pistons on a given night when both are playing, one home and one away, or both away? Or is it, no, I'm a Wings fan, man. I don't do any of that basketball crap. Or, hey, I'm a fan of the beautiful game of high-flying basketball. I don't want to see the toothless wonders go and doing their thing. You know what I mean?
No, I absolutely do. And, it, you know, as someone who's originally from the Cleveland area, I I've never had this conflict because the hockey team in question has always been the AAA of hockey, not the major level. So that conflict would have never entered into my mind.
So it's never even been a question. And for me, too, that's one of the reasons why I asked it, because I've never, you know, had to deal with that either. So it is just kind of an interesting thing. Okay, music is a-playing. So here's what we're going to do on the way out the door. As we get you set up, especially, this just kind of times up, Jim, because Mike Miller at Perrysburg with the Battle of I-75 preview and the bobblehead giveaway for the battle. How about BG, one of the two participants, but it's for this week's game at, against Northern Illinois at the Deut. So if you want to see BG and NIU at the Deut on Saturday, I'll give you a pair of tickets on our way out the door here. Caller 4 to 866-240-1065, 866-240-1065. You got the BG NIU tickets? Then stay where you are, because after the top of the hour local sports center, it'll be extended drive time with Mike Miller out in Perrysburg at Kroger, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.